Welcome, my lovely mutants. Today I'm really excited because I'm fangirling over a very special guest. I'd like to introduce you to Annie Charlotte.
Hi.
And she has an extremely amazing unicorn of a mutation, and I'm going to let Annie let us know what she has.
Well, I have uterus Didelphus is how it's pronounced, but I call it Delphius because I think it sounds prettier. But it means that I have two reproductive systems. So I have two uteruses, two cervixes, and two vaginas. They're linked together with one set of ovaries, but it's all like split down the middle. And I have two of everything.
It's phenomenal. And do you actually know how this was formed genetically?
No, I joke saying that I ate my twin in the womb. I've had other ones that it's just like, my brother calls me a mutant, actually.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
To me, you're like the queen mutant.
But no, I have no clue how it happened.
So where you say you've eaten the twin in the womb, that's something called chimerism, and it has nothing to do with what you have. Mm. So when the cells are creating an embryo, it's something called the Müllerian effect. So you have these Müllerian ducts, and they are responsible for all reproductive systems, male or female. So when it decides that you're a female, basically these ducts are meant to fuse together and create the entire reproductive system. Yours didn't.
Oh.
And in fact, 1 in 3,000 women, which is fairly common, actually have two uteruses, but most of them, one of them is non-functioning. So they have a functioning one and they have a non-functioning one. Where you're the unicorn is where your little cells were like, and now we're going to create two vaginas.
Yeah.
Because usually it's the two uteruses with the one vagina and the one set of ovaries. But just through an absolute anomaly, nothing your mum's done. Just through an absolute anomaly, it forgot to fuse, basically.
Oh, cool.
And then the cells have gone, well, here's a uterus, there's a vagina, here's a uterus, there's a vagina, and that's how you've been created, which I think is really phenomenal.
Wild.
So you are super rare. You are the absolute unicorn. I know you know that, because what's the percentage?
It's like 0.3% of women worldwide have. Like...
Well, I think that actually might be the percentage of people with the two uteruses.
Yeah, so it's like 0.3% of women have uterus Didelphus in general.
Yes.
So, and uterus Didelphus can be... So there's three stages. You have two uteruses, you have two uteruses and two cervixes, and then you have two uteruses, two cervixes and two vaginas.
Yes.
And if you have all three, like, so technically all six,
yeah,
that's like the rarest, and it's really, really uncommon.
Whereas, it is extremely uncommon.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you first realise that you had this condition, and did it affect your identity? Like, did you grow up being one person and then realised that you were absolutely special and had a superpower, and then did that kind of change your identity, or have you always just been the same person?
No, I definitely say there was like a change, but it wasn't like as soon as I found out. Mm. I found out when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit of a rough ride, can't lie. I I didn't know when I was younger, because obviously it's all completely internal. I had a lot of trouble with periods. I even struggled, this is wild when I think back to it, because me and my mum talk about this. I struggled to put my first tampon in. I just couldn't get it in. And it was obviously because I was hitting the wall trying to put it in.
Of course, yeah.
And I had no clue. And I was like crying to my mum, like, I can't get my tampon in. And I had my auntie and mum were just, oh, this is just thinking about it. It's mortifying. I'm like telling my auntie and mum, like, I can't do it, I can't get this tampon in. And my auntie goes, just lay on the bed and I'll put it in for you. And I'm like on the bed, and she's like, put my tampon in for the first time. And I was like, great, this was just a traumatic experience. Later found out probably the reason why I couldn't actually get my first tampon in was because
you were hitting,
I was just hitting the wall.
Yeah.
And I had loads of times where a tampon would come out of my vagina like bent. And I didn't know why, because I didn't find out until I was 16. So obviously I'd have my periods around 13, 14.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no clue. I was like they'd come out bent, where they'd literally come out like this, where
they
just sat at the front of my...
Because you'd pushed it.
Yeah, because my wall, like, concave, so it's like this. So there's like a tiny bit at the, like, this much in that's like... It's one.
Yeah.
So I could like put the tampon half in and it'd obviously bend against the wall. And I was pulling out this burnt tampon, not realizing that that wasn't normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd also put it up the wrong side and I'd be like bleeding through. And I was like, I've got these ridiculously heavy periods. Like, but also as well, there wasn't any blood on the tampon. So I was like so confused what was going on.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. And I was just, and then I started passing out at school. It was got quite bad. Like, it was just my periods really bad. I was in a lot of pain. I was passing out at school. I thought I had this super heavy flow, which was just, in fact, I was just using the tampon up the wrong side.
Yeah, yeah.
So my mum was like, go and get the Marina Call fitted. Like, it will obviously just, like, stop all these symptoms and you'll be fine. So I was like, okay, at 16, I went and got it fitted. Well, I went to go get it fitted with a friend. We're at the, like, sexual health clinic. Turn up. I lay down on the bed. The lady's like prepped me already. She's got the like the speculum.
Yeah.
She's like ready to go. She's like, I'm just going to feel around, like make sure it's like good to go in. And this nurse just puts her hand up my vagina and she just goes, oh. And I'm like, oh, that's not what you want to hear when a nurse has her hand up your vagina. Is everything okay? She was like, there's just something in the way. She's like, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't tell, but there's something in the way. Okay. She was like, I don't know if it's a mucus or a membrane or something, but she was like, something like this could make you infertile, so you immediately need to go and see a gynecologist.
Right.
And then within a few weeks, I think I had my first gynecologist appointment, had tons of scans. I had was it an MRI?
Yeah.
I had an MRI and all of like these, I had like an internal ultrasound, an external ultrasound, everything. And then a few weeks later, the gynecologist sits me down, like he's diagnosed somebody with this every day of the week. Oh, you have two vaginas, by the way. I was like, oh.
Whereas, in fact, you're probably his only patient.
Yeah, I was probably the first person he'd ever seen, but you would have thought that he diagnosed somebody like five times already that day. And I was like, oh, okay. No clue what that meant. He just kind of went on, like, probably going to have trouble having children. Probably have to, like, probably wouldn't be able to carry a baby to full term because I think he knew already that they were both fully functioning.
Right.
Because he was like, they won't be able to expand big enough because there's one like in the way. So you'll have to probably not like have like babies and have like incubated babies and all things like this. And then I think me and my mum left the appointment and just kind of sat in the car in silence. Because one, as a mum, what on earth do you say to your kids?
Yes.
Because you can't console them being like, I understand how you feel because you don't. Because it's like, one thing in society tells you, like, you're a girl, get married, you have a baby, and then you become a mum. And that's what you just assume. I think when I was 16, what I wanted to do was marry a rich man and have a ton of kids and him pay for everything. I think that was like, I was actually, like, that's what you talk about when you're 16. It's like, oh, I'm going to marry a rich man and
of course,
babies and everything, I'll be a housewife. And I think when I was that age, that's what I just assumed my life would be.
Yeah.
And then, so I had to then start dealing with that. Of how like I actually was not going to be able to have kids because it really the conversation kind of just seemed like kids aren't really in your
an
future
option.
And then so me and my mum just kind of didn't know what to say to each other. I think it also didn't help that my gynecologist was like a 70-year-old man.
I was gonna say, have you seen somebody since then? Because that's like the worst advice I've ever heard anybody, like, no empathy dealing with a young 16-year-old girl, just giving her all of the doom and not the options. And I'm sure technology has come a long way.
Yeah.
So you've seen other people since
then. To be fair, one of his reasons, I actually asked him to give me one vagina.
Yeah.
And he went, do you know what, you're at such a young age that by the time you have children, we're probably going to do more harm than good because science is going to change. There's going to be, like, so much more technology that we'll be able to help you a lot better down the line. And then, so I just went, okay, fine. I then did end up going to see another gynecologist, I'd say 2 years later, because I ended up bleeding for a month straight.
And wow.
And I got to the stage
that's not sustainable.
Yeah, and I got to the stage I started getting, like, really scared. So I was like, I need to go, like, so I went to A&E, and the gynecologist, like, on call at the A&E was like, do you have a registered gynecologist? Like, you have quite a rare condition. Should probably have a gynecologist. And I was like, oh no, I don't. And he was like, oh well, you need to like get registered with one immediately. So then I went and got registered with a gynecologist. This was even worse than my first experience. She comes and sees me, she has a chat with me, and she goes, yeah, you've got two vaginas. She's like, I actually have seen this before. And you'll just have deadpan, like, she, as I said, like, they just say this everyone every day, you'll probably have tons of miscarriages, but then you'll probably get pregnant.
Oh, cheers for that.
And I was like, okay then. And she was like, also, if you don't come back within the next 6 months, there's an issue, you're going to be discharged. So I just went, I came home to mum and I was like, mum, I'm done. I don't want to see a doctor ever again.
I can completely understand.
Yeah. And I just was like, and then I remember I went, like, when I was at university, I went to an STI clinic and I told the STI clinic, they're like, I had two vaginas. And the nurse just turns around to me and goes, do you think you need to swab both of them? And I was like, probably. I don't know. I was like, I hope you can answer that question for me.
That's right.
So then it got to the stage that I spoke to mum about it recently and I was just like, do you know what? I don't think I even want to go get a smear test because I don't even want to turn up to smear and then go,
do we have to do both of them?
Do we have to do both?
Well, you know what? You have two cervixes, so yes, yes, you do.
Yeah.
I will say that for you.
Also, it looks terrifying, though, a smear test. I watched it happen. It's like...
No, good news. Ooh. Good news. Good news for all the women, particularly in Australia at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's a self-swabbing thing now.
Mm.
So I go to the GP and I just go behind the curtain and she just gives me, it's like the COVID swab. You've got to get the right hole. This is not going to do the pap smear. And so you just self-swab that gets taken away. And then if there's an anomaly on that swab, they then call you back and do the
proper test.
Exactly.
Oh,
so don't let that deter you.
Yeah.
Go and get your pap smear because it's literally just self-swabbing now.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the case in Australia. I hope it's the case in UK.
Well, I hope so. I'll find out. Because
exactly.
It's definitely something like obviously you want to go do and you want to have, but I think because of how many like bad experiences I've had with gynecologists and I just don't want to do it again. And also the amount of people I speak to when I tell them I have two vaginas, I've had all these issues. People with normal vaginas have still had equally as many issues as me.
That's me. Like, I've lost my uterus. You have too. So thank you for balancing the room. it's equal now. But I was going to say, like, this is appalling advice these gynecologists have given you. I've always had reproductive issues and I've had endometriosis and ovarian cysts. And everyone kept saying, like, oh, you're not going to... be able to, you know, have babies and things like that, or have a baby and the endometriosis will go away. No, that doesn't happen. When
it
I had Xavier,
happen.
Who is behind the camera there, he loves me telling birth stories. I had a cyst the size of a small basketball and he fit in my womb and he was completely natural pregnancy, natural, well, not natural birth, I had to have a cesarean because it was all too squished in there. But my first son was completely natural birth and everything. So it can happen. So for them to tell you that you have difficulty, well, and like you say, anybody with a normal vagina has difficulty these days anyway. So if that's what you want, don't ever let that deter you because it's bad advice. And I'm hoping that you've just had a little, you know, window of bad advice and that's not gynecology in the UK.
You hope not.
Do better.
Literally do better.
Yes.
I just, do you know what, gynecology, women's health is just a mess really. But I looked into facts about it and I'm not going to say the right date for the life of me because I feel like the date I'm about to say is actually crazy. But it's something either the 1960s or the 1980s, women weren't even used in test experiments for drugs because their bodies weren't like researched enough to understand the side effects of
that does
like,
not surprise
medical
me.
Health. So it's like people didn't even understand the woman's anatomy in the 1980s. Why? How on earth are they going to understand the double anatomy or even any illogical things like endometriosis or stuff like that?
It's the classic argument. And what's happening in the States? You and I spoke about that earlier. But the whole abortion thing is ruled by men.
I know. It's crazy.
They are making those decisions. It's just insane.
It's just like, you're a
insane.
Man. Like, you can't tell a woman what to do with her body.
Exactly. Absolutely. And, you know, carrying on from me, like everyone was saying, oh, you know, once you have a baby, the endometriosis will go, which never happened. Once you get through menopause, the endometriosis will go. No, what I didn't realize that I started menopause and menopause reawakens a sleeping beast.
Oh, my God.
And so without even realizing it, I was having all these issues again, just thinking it was menopause. But endo was just roaring through my reproductive system, which is why I then had to have the operation and lose my little uterus. It did well, though. I had to have a full hysterectomy.
Yeah,
but you know the uterus did its job. There was no more babies coming out of me.
You had
like,
babies.
No,
it did what it needed to do.
Exactly. So I was okay with
that. She did her best. She tried her hardest.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what they do? To try their hardest. They're like, I'm here. I'm trying. I was like, there's so many things going wrong, but I'm trying.
Exactly. Now look, I keep banging on about you being a goddess, and
oh,
I know it seems a bit creepy. I keep keep like putting little comments on your Instagram.
I'll take them. It's nice to have good comments instead of bad.
I know, exactly. Jesus my Christ. Goodness, you have some trolls. The reason I keep banging on about it is throughout all my podcasts, I always come back to mythology and folklore and that, which is my favorite part.
Oh, I love mythology and folklore.
Yes, exactly. And what I found is that there's always an origin story to any sort of myth. Mm. You know, the werewolf is hypertrichosis, those people that have hair all over their bodies and things like that. So there's always like a source to this mythology. So I did a deep dive into your condition, and I found that in the Hindu religion, in some parts of India, so not throughout, the fertility goddess Parvati is depicted with multiple vaginas.
No way.
Yes. And so I'm not saying that you're a reincarnation, although, you know, in the Hindu religion, they believe in reincarnation. But the thing is, as a fertility goddess, it's not just about sex, which, by the way, I'm an absolute ally of what you do. I love your content and
thanks
you know,
so much.
Your body is your body, and I just think you're hilarious. And the fact that you're so open about your sexual escapades is actually great content for young girls or any woman, actually, because, you know, sex isn't a formula. It isn't something that happens the same way to everybody. And you are so open and transparent about what you do, about your BJs, about...
I just open about everything. I'm just like, these are my no's, these are my yes's, these are my sometimes. I just think, like, do you know what? It's the first thing that comes to my head, like, when I talk about it and I just, like, go on a rant, like, just a bit of a rant.
No, I love it because growing up, I don't know if the UK had the same, we used to have a magazine called Dolly Magazine. They used to have a thing called Dolly Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Cosmo actually used to have, like, the Cosmo Sexologist. And these were the sort of questions and things that people would write in. You know, how do I do a blowjob and things like that. And nowadays it's social.
I never even thought about that.
No, but nowadays it's social media that everyone's looking to. No one's picking up a magazine, or no one's even reading a magazine online. You know, they're looking at these videos, they're looking at this content, and even, you know, for older women, women have been in marriages for many, many years, and then they come out of in a divorce, and they don't know any better. And so content like yours, which is so open and just out there and funny, and, you know, sex is messy, and, you know, and you have the best content. So I've diverted.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so nice to hear it, like, a woman liking my content, because I'm so used to men just being like, yeah, she's well sexy. Well, I'm like, thanks.
But do you know what's hilarious about, like, your trolls? And I wrote to you about this, in that the trolls come on your feed, they watch your whole video. They take the time to comment on the video, but then they trawl the comments and comment on the comments.
Oh, they comment on everyone's comments.
It's like, honey, you haven't just fallen in this hasn't fallen into view. Like, you have searched it, you've looked through the comments. And what's funny about my comments is that my Instagram account is a picture of myself and my husband.
It's your husband commenting. So they're like, you've got a wife. And I'm like, it's the wife commenting.
I know. I'm like, I'm the female in the photo. And I like, support women.
Yeah, they're like, I love this. And they're like, oh, get alive, yes. Buddy. Oh, like,
you're a real cuck. No, I'm not, because I'm female. And does your wife know you're on this whore's account? I am the wife.
I know.
And my husband fully supports it.
I saw that and I was like, oh, too little do you know. Like, that is just not what's happening here.
It's just insanity to me.
You can be so savage sometimes. There was one guy that commented, he was actually really lovely. And there were just, my video went viral and it went on the wrong side. Like, I don't mind it going on the wrong side. Engagement's engagement.
Yes.
Comments are comments. Views are views. But he'd been, like, obviously followed me and, like, said a really nice comment. And then because it had fallen onto the wrong side, he just got all
hammered.
Of these, like, hate comments. I think his comment had more comments than, like, individual comments on my post.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh my God, no, like, these are really mean. And he was like responding to them, and I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad. So I ended up messaging him being like, I hope you're okay. Like, some of these comments are really nasty. And he was like, do you know what? He was like, these comments got you to text me, so I don't care.
Love it. Oh. I love it. And at the end of the day, if you actually, I mean, you don't have time to reach out to all these people, but I think it would be the same thing. These horrible, horrible men commenting on your thing, if you reached out to them, I think they would just wet themselves.
Oh,
I'd be like, oh, my God, like, She's talking to me.
I know, they'd be like, oh my God. It's like most of them already follow me. Most of my hate comments, people already follow me.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, so you like my content, but then you don't at the same time.
Exactly.
They just follow me to make sure they can comment on everything I post.
But the thing is, like the beauty about a fertility goddess, you know, so everything has an origin. It's from ancient times and stuff like that. But in today's context, so a fertility goddess isn't just about sex. It's about the mind, a fertile mind. It's about fertile land. So in Africa, a fertility goddess is really, really important for fertile land crops. And so to grow crops and things like that. And so it's about, you know, being smart. It's about being, you know, it's about sex. But there's, with Parvati, there's a duality with her. And I think you embody it in that half of her, well, one vagina is loving and nurturing as a woman, as a lover, as a mother. And the other is for being a fierce warrior. So I don't know if you know the story about Parvati and Shiva, the god Shiva. Parvati set her sights on Shiva and by God she was going to get him, and she did. Mm. And so it's about that resilience of being a woman. It's about perseverance and getting what you want. And I think in today's standards, you embody that.
Oh, thanks.
You are fierce. You are in control of your body and you are in control of your narrative. But you also are very soft when you talk about kids and having a partner and things like that. And you have that dual personality.
Yeah, I have some vulnerability to me.
Exactly. And I think it's really important. Your condition and what you do, your adult content and everything, is about opening other people's minds. I mean, what are you doing that's hurting somebody sitting behind a screen going, you're a whore? Like, your life is not affecting their life. Yeah. And so if you can open those minds to be like, I'm not hurting you, this is a community service.
Yeah, literally.
That's just exactly.
It's just people get a kick out of it, though. And I just think at the end of the day, if you've got a kick out of it, you do you.
Yes.
You're not, like, at the end of the day, these comments actually don't hurt me. Like,
exactly.
They generally don't even get my radar. Like, I read them and laugh. I read them all the time to mum. All the time. I'm like, look at this one.
Yeah.
I was like, this one's really creative. Look at this one. And they make me chuckle.
Yeah.
Like, I think in the beginning, they used to make me really sad. There was, like, when I was younger and did social media, I had to take a massive step back. But now I'm just like, it's funny.
I'm really relieved to hear that. And I loved your reel about reading out the hate comments because they're pathetic and the people behind them are pathetic. And I hope by you continuing doing what you're doing that their minds do start to open and they start to realize they can't penetrate their hate and that they then either jump on board or leave off.
I'm over here too busy being a goddess, actually.
Exactly.
Guys. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, sorry about that.
But do you see how, you know, everything has an origin and you can see how it can be put into the context of what you're doing now in terms of.
I think that's so cool. That's actually such a cool way to put it. I've never looked at it from that perspective. Because obviously, I make my content, since I've started doing like the podcast more kind of content, I've really enjoyed it and I really enjoy like chatting and making people laugh and making all this funny stuff. But obviously at the end of the day, I do think like, I just didn't realize how like it could be received so well by women and not just men. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And I just think it's really important. And I think the more things that are on social media that do actually open people's minds is really important. That's why I keep banging on about the fact that you are a goddess, physically as well as metaphorically. Mm. I think it's really important. But also in the, I've written it down because I can't remember, the Chibchan culture of Central America, they also believed in the duality of you know, female deity. I have a picture here.
Oh, yeah.
That's not that one. So I don't know if you can see here. In between her legs, she has two flaps.
Oh, no way.
And so with this culture, what they believed is that one vagina was like the normal vagina and it was loving and it was nurturing. The other vagina had teeth. And the moral of that story was, you know, choose wisely. And, of course, back in those days it wasn't about marriage because, you know, Christianity and all that wasn't there, but it was about, you know, partnering up and looking after and cherishing women because if you do wrong by them, they'll basically bite your dick off.
Yeah, nice.
But I remember you were talking about your anatomy and you were saying that one of your vaginas is like normal and the other is tighter and shorter.
Mm.
And I thought that kind of rings true in that it has teeth because surely the shorter, tighter one, they'd be hitting the cervix.
Mm.
And so,
yeah, the shorter and tighter one, it's like it's too big or does it, like there's ones that just don't fit and it's like a situation I'm like,
yeah,
and people just like, I remember the first time I realized that one was shallower and one was tighter was when I was like seeing a guy at uni and we'd like slept together loads and we did a quickie. And I remember just, he was like, I've got to go in 5 minutes. And I was like, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ow, 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 the entire time. And he left and he texted me and he was like, that felt different.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, like what on earth happened there? And I was like, oh my God. He was like, and I was like, did you feel like you were hitting my cervix? Because I would say that you felt like that you were hitting that. And he just goes, yeah, do you know what? I would say so. And he's like, he was quite well endowed. So it wasn't his first time actually probably hitting someone's cervix.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'd say like that would be probably what's happened. And I was like, but that's never happened before. And I was like, oh my God, one of my vaginas is obviously shallower
yes.
and tighter than the other, which is crazy.
You can imagine in Central America, because like, again, there would have been a woman who would have had two vaginas and she would have been like a goddess. And you can imagine that someone having sex with her has gone into the shallower, tighter one and gone, that's got teeth.
Yeah, it's like, too tight, it hurts.
Exactly.
Shit, you don't know, yes. that's wild. That's
I know, crazy. Right? And then there's another one, Siwakwati, and she's from the Aztec and Inca world. Mm. So actually quite modern. That's because, you know, Incas and the Aztecs aren't that long ago. And she's a very sort of female dominant deity, and midwives would call on her if there was a difficult birth. And so one vagina was for life and one vagina was for death.
Oh, sad.
I know. And so it would be like, you know, if they had stillborns or something, that she was in the form of a snake with two vaginas.
Oh, wow.
And their understanding of it was that she would take this baby back to the underworld and it would be reincarnated and things like that. So that's the mythology of...
It's wild that there's actually mythology on this.
Well, it was really hard to sort of delve into, particularly when I then looked at cultural things, because there's slim pickings, obviously.
Mm.
Things like, you know, different coloured eyes, extra digits, there's artwork, there's literature, there's all sorts of things, but yours is so internal.
Yeah, because it's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't really, you know, find a lot on there. But once I started to delve in, you know, I kind of fell down a rabbit hole. And
that's so cool. Yeah.
So there would have been women with your condition that they then created this folklore around, which is pretty special. And so I would...
I'm going to tell everyone now.
You should please tell everybody.
I'm changing my name from the Two Pussy Princess to the Two Pussy Goddess.
I think you should. I think you absolutely should.
Changing now.
That's it. Good. I'm pleased I could help there. So we spoke about the trolls online and all that. What growing up... So when did you actually, like, start telling people? Like, because...
Oh, yeah. So I was silent for years. 16, didn't want to be different. You don't want to be different at 16. I said it to someone recently and I went, I was bullied at school for having a fringe cut because no one had a fringe.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell I'm telling anyone that I had two vaginas when one was the normal. Also as well, luckily, I'm glad I didn't, because boys would have loved that. Didn't think about that at 16.
Exactly.
Because I was a bit of a, like, I was quite an introverted teenager. Like, I didn't think about boys at 16. So
let me just say, though, a 16-year-old boy, yes, secretly would have loved it, but would have absolutely jumped
terrified.
On the... Yeah, exactly.
Terrified.
But also jumped on the bandwagon.
Speaking of the teeth, I have had boys look at me, men, boys, anything you want to call them, when I've told them I have two vaginas and have looked at me like they have teeth. It's only been a few times. But
it's
sometimes,
a trap.
Sometimes they've been like, what? I remember one guy, I told him I had it and it was actually for like a social media thing. So he was like quite a well-known person and I expected him to be like really nonchalant, like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
He just goes, he looked at me with sheer panic and dread. I was like, I'm not even having sex with you. Like, why are you looking at me like this? He was like,
like it's going to come out of your pants or something.
Like it was like about to come and attack him. Yeah. I was like,
the little tentacles and drag him.
I was like, they won't bite. Like, it was like, and I remember being like, Tim, they won't bite. And he...
And then he gets the short one. He's
like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, you are genuinely safe. You are safe. So, yeah, it is. I have had people look at me and be like, there are teeth in there. But so I'd never thought about the implications of what boys would think of them. As we've now at least found out, boys love them.
Yeah.
But so I'm glad I actually never told anyone at the start, because school was hard enough as it is having two vaginas.
Exactly.
And I just kept it very quiet. And then I almost kind of forgot about it it kind of just became something that was on the back, like, it was kind of like a subconscious thought. I didn't really, like, pay attention to it, never thought about it again, and just went on with my life until I was 19. I've been happier more recently, though. Yeah. I'd say when I've, like, now started down more the social media path and, like, I did my first studio performance, like, studio performance, but studio scene.
Yeah.
And, like, more, that I'm heading down the route that I want to go down, and I definitely think it's quite, I'm definitely more happier now.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, back to it.
Oh, thanks, so, Mom.
It's sweet. I feel like your whole vibe is empowerment. Mm. Did you always feel like that? And do you feel like that personally and professionally just as a whole? Or is there, like you said, a bit of vulnerability in the personal?
Yeah. So as I, like, as I was saying, like, I, when I was younger, I completely just was, it was a shame. I had shame. I don't know why. I guess it was the whole, I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be normal. And then I, like, got to university and it came out on a drunken night out. I turned around to one of my friends and told her I had two vaginas. And she was like, what did you just say to me? We got home, she was my housemate, and she made me draw a picture of my two vaginas. And, like, this was, like, the party trick. It would then became every time we'd have people over for pre's, it'd be never have I ever. And my mate would be like, never have I ever had two vaginas. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, here we go. And I'd drink. And everyone would be like, what? What? What?
Hilarious.
And then so my friend would then run off with a Sharpie and come back with a Sharpie and a piece of paper.
And
she'd be like, show everyone now. And I'd have to just draw this. And it literally was me just drawing, like, a circle for one ovary, a line, a circle for another ovary, a triangle, and then a circle, and then another circle, and then a line. And I went, uterus one, uterus two, cervix one, cervix two, vagina one, vagina two. And it was just, this was on repeat. And then I was like, oh, people think it's cool. Everyone, like, wants to talk about it. Everyone wants to know about it. And I was like, oh, that's really awesome. And then kind of I started accepting it and started, like, really being like, oh, I don't mind that I've got this anymore. Started then telling sexual partners, because I had sex before and just didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Because people don't notice.
Yeah.
Unless you tell them. And so then I just started, like, telling more people and telling more people I had sex with. And then I just kind of, like, it plateaued. I kind of got over the excitement of having two vaginas. And then I started OnlyFans. But I actually started OnlyFans completely faceless because I wanted to be a politician. But I was
really?
That's amazing. I wanted to go to politics. I wanted to go to do a master's degree in PPE. And I did it. I was at university at the time doing philosophy. And so I was like, oh, what I'll do is I'll just, like, it was locked down. I'm a very horny person. I was, like, Snapchatting loads of boys. And I saw this girl and she was just, like, doing it and making, like, 11 grand a month. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for free. I was like, no way. So I I started saving all the pics and videos I was sending boys. So I was still talking to all these, like, boys at the same time. And I was saving all these pics and videos. I was taking my mum's garden and at my mum's house still. I still live there. I'd be like pulling my top up in the garden, like, in lockdown. Everyone's obviously home, like, taking pictures of, like, my boobs.
Oh,
like,
so
I'd, like, looking
funny.
Around and be like, is my mum here? I remember that.
Did anyone end up in the garden looking for it? Luckily, strangers in the garden.
Luckily, no.
In Google Earth is this picture?
Legit. And so all of that was going on. But because I was faceless, I didn't talk about having two vaginas because I was like, it's quite a big thing.
Yeah.
So I kept faceless and kept vagina singular.
Yeah.
We started becoming, like, quite more successful and I was a bit like, oh, I'm really enjoying this. I then told some of my OnlyFans friends I had two vaginas and one of them went, you're a fucking idiot. And I was like, what? She was like, you've got the biggest porn thing in the world and you're not showing the world.
You're not exploiting it.
And I was like, well, it's all internal. So I then had this whole, another then almost like step back because I was like, it's all internal. So these guys can't see it.
Yeah.
And then one of my other friends, she was so successful on OnlyFans. She still is really successful. She just went to me, you know you have it. You know how to market it. You understand it. You can explain it to people. It doesn't matter if they can't see it or not.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, and then you can just do it. So I went, sod it. I'll do it. And eventually found ways to show it. I've got photos of me with speculums in. I've got videos, like, literally feeling like I'm going to rip out my vaginas, showing it off.
I love the plural.
Yeah, and then because when I first started talking to guys, I had to just be like, vagina, vagina. I now have to be like, pussies, vagina, vaginas, vaginas, pussies, all of this. And especially now as well that I'm so open with it, when I start seeing people, I do. If I have talked dirty to a guy that I'm actually seeing and dating, I'll be like, oh yeah, my vaginas. And sometimes I'll be like,
that's hilarious.
They'll be like, fuck yeah, I forgot you have two. And that's... And then it just became a thing that I loved. I started making stupid money and nearly dropped out of uni, but my mum refused to let me drop out.
Well done, mum.
I had like half a year, I think I had a year, like just under a year to go. And she was like, don't be stupid. She was like, just finish it. And I was at the stage where I used to lay in bed and try, it was during COVID as well, so I had nothing better to do, to be honest, other than study and take pictures of my vaginas. And I would just like message the guys in the morning until I made X amount, and then I'd go off to the library and finish my dissertation or finish an essay and then come back and then take content and do that. And it just, I was just started making crazy money, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be a politician. I'm going to be a slut.
Yep.
I remember as well.
Well, are they any different?
Male, no, not really.
Male politicians as well.
They hold like, themselves out for
there's
money.
A lot of difference
I also,
there.
I also do the same. And yeah, then I got offered to do a master's in metaphysics, and I was just like, I'm really sorry, no thank you.
Yeah, wow.
And haven't looked back. And do you know what, the past couple of years I've started like, I have started going viral for obviously having two vaginas. It's changed my life. It's like things like, I bought my mum a car, bought my auntie a car.
Stop it.
And it was all these things that like my mom, we've never been in a like great financial situation, we haven't been like barassic, but like it was just things started to happen, and I just was able to do things that I never thought I could do before, and it was just really awesome.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, if I didn't have two vaginas, I wouldn't be able to do that. And also in the sense that I did like a professional shoot, and I found it like I've loved it, and I don't think I would have been able to have got that shoot the way I did if I hadn't
if
had two vaginas.
Mm.
And it's like, also my two vaginas are now going to be on like a professional porn site. Like, how fucking cool is that?
That's amazing.
I think that's really
that's
cool.
Amazing.
Like, I'm really, really excited.
I think it's
it.
Very cool. I think, like I said, I feel like your vibe is a journey of empowerment.
Yeah, it is. Do you know, I went from a 16-year-old terrified that she'd never be able to have children and scared that people would judge her to like now I'm 10 years. It's actually been 10 years since I've had
her.
Oh, wow. Kind of wild.
Yeah.
To our 26-year-old who loves her job, is, I've always been sexually open anyway. Maybe it is the two vaginas make me extra horny. I've always kind of...
Do you have two G-spots?
Do you know, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like in the sense, because it sits at the back and I come from both. So I'm going to go with
yeah.
Yes.
I suppose so. Yeah.
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 And so like, I guess with the two, I always say with the two vaginas, maybe an extra horny person. I've always just been that way. So this job is like, feels so like right and good, and I do love it. And then just now I just love and accept it all. And yeah, it's just...
I love it. It's fantastic. It is a career path. There's no shame in it. Mm. But there are so many women who are unhappy in their job. They are getting like sexually harassed, or not even sexually harassed, just harassed in general, or bullied. They're mums, they're working, they're young, they have anxiety. Like there's a whole host of things that happens in working life. Not just in corporation, working at the supermarkets, whatever. There's all these things that people are stuck in jobs doing what they hate. And here you are, as happy as anything. And I think you're an absolute example to show that pursue what you love. And sometimes it's hard. You're not going to make money all the time.
No,
you're not going to.
No, it's not easy. I've had months where I've been worried that I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. Like, it's not been plain sailing the whole time.
No, that's right. There was actually a woman, there was an online article where this woman said, I gave up my job for OnlyFans and she made $300. Laugh.
But it's, no, I do think it's true. Some people do just think it's going to be like magic money, and like one minute you're like at home doing nothing, and next minute you're making millions.
It's exactly. Like,
it's so much.
It's a lot of
it's
work.
A lot
it's
of
a
work.
Career.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not that doesn't just happen. You have to market yourself. You have to have a strategy. You have to have growth. You have to, you know, have engagement. And my point is like, it's not going to happen for everybody. But if you are unhappy in your work, male or female, get out, find another job. It's human nature to land on your feet.
It doesn't have to be like a massive jump to something crazy like OnlyFans.
No, exactly.
It could also just be like you just apply for a new job.
Exactly.
And do just something a little bit different. Or you get a new hobby that makes you happier outside of work.
That's right.
There's so many things that you can do to make yourself happy.
Absolutely, exactly right. And that's, I think, is a really great message of empowerment. And one of the things I love about Gen Z is they've given up the grind, basically. Yeah. And everyone's like, no more work from home, and you come into the office and you work 9 to 5 or even longer hours. We're not going to pay you those extra hours because you're on the salary. Yeah. And Gen Z have gone, fuck that.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
absolutely.
Doing that. So like my sons, so Xavier's my youngest, I have an oldest one as well. And I think they've kind of worked it out for themselves in that they don't have that 9 to 5. They're both basketball coaches and referees and things. And so they have a whole heap of different contracts that equal a full-time job, but it keeps it exciting, it keeps it interesting, it keeps it challenging. They're always moving, they're always onto the sort of
thing. We're not designed to sit at a desk 9 to 5. No,
no
one is.
No, exactly.
Person, that's the reason why people get back trouble and shit.
Yeah, that's exactly
from like working
right.
a 9 to 5. We're
exactly.
not supposed to be stagnant.
And I don't think this next generation is going to change. And I think corporations really need to look at what they're doing to embrace this change, because it is a change, and I don't think it's going to go away, and they're going to rattle a cage and complain about Gen Z being lazy and leaving jobs. But I think it's exactly
what
the
generation.
If
you're not happy, why would you do something? You only live life once. Why are you stuck in a job that you don't enjoy? Do you know what? Like, if you take anything away from this, you don't have to do sex work, but
no, that's right.
Just have fun.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's your whole vibe is empowerment, is do what is right for you.
Mm. I think, yeah, as well, because the issue comes across as like, I'm so positive pro my job. I'm not trying to tell everyone to do it.
That's like, right. And it's not going to be for everybody.
I feel like a lot of people go, oh, these women are so like positive about sex work and like OnlyFans and porn and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just actually expressing that it is something I enjoy. And I actually should be allowed to say that, because people have, you should be allowed to talk about sex. You should be allowed to talk about vaginas.
Exactly.
Multiples or just one of them. Like, it's not a taboo subject.
It's not at all. And your sex work does not affect me.
No, it doesn't. I think, you know what, if you're not affecting anyone and you're not causing any trouble to anyone, do you give a shit about what people are doing? Sorry for the language, but I'm
fine.
Very passionate about that one thing. Like,
well, I have a mantra. As long as you leave animals, children, and dead people alone and it's consent, whatever floats your boat.
Literally, yep. I completely agree
with
that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nobody else's business. And
no.
Yeah.
Just leave people alone.
Good on you.
Yeah.
girl power, little Powerpuff Girl. So I did look into sort of cultural aspects uterus.
Didelphus.
Because I keep saying Didelphus.
It might
Didelphus.
Be that one. I don't know.
No,
I just,
I'm sure you have
I'm
it right.
I'm so dyslexic. Like, I just saw it on Google and I said uterus Delphius because I like saw it and that's what I thought. And I was telling people that. And
Didelphus.
Somebody went, it doesn't look like that's actually the name. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I can't read.
But I think I did message you about the movie Dead Ringers.
Yes.
And it's
my mom keeps talking about this movie all the time.
Have you watched it?
She hasn't.
Yes.
Oh, you
have? I watched it years ago.
Oh, no way.
It was one of Jeremy Irons' first films. And it's about twin gynecologists.
Yeah.
But they're really unethical because they keep swapping each other out, you see. So they don't tell the patient that, you know, they just go out of the room and then they come back in and, it's the other twin.
Mm-hmm.
And they find somebody with uterus Didelphus, and she's the unicorn for them, and they become completely obsessed by her. And my recollection was that they murdered her, but they actually didn't.
Oh.
Which is a good thing. They did completely unethical things to her with the examinations and things like that. But then she complained about it, and then the police were going to come, and then they killed themselves.
Oh, wow.
They got found out and all that sort of stuff. But she completely had your condition. She had like the two vaginas and the two cervixes, which is why for a gynecologist, it's like a gynecologist dream, the unicorn.
That's what I thought. I thought my gynecologist would be way more exciting.
Yeah,
so I got like, now I think back at it, I'm like, I'm really cool.
Really surprised by that.
Well, I think it's because he had no. That neither of them had no,
but they had to maintain a sort of level of professionalism.
Yeah,
like,
well,
we're cool with this.
I have to know, like, something.
Yeah,
exactly. I just think they've got no clue.
Yeah,
which is fine. You can be like, shit, I've never seen this before.
Yeah,
I prefer like people to be like, can we do tests on you to find out like
Oh, I'd exactly.
prefer to be like your alien little subject.
Yes, that's
than
right.
to know nothing.
That's right. Just kind of leave you alone. And
it's like I found out the other day because I said to someone, I was like, I feel like I'm wetter than the average woman.
Right.
Because I'm just wet quite a lot.
Well, you have two of them, so that
would
be...
And she was like, well, you have two cervixes, and the cervix is what secretes, like, lubrication.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Makes sense now.
Fucking joking, yeah. I was like, that makes so much sense. I was like, and I'm just here like, oh, yeah, my hormones are different. And
but that's the thing, the doctors should be telling you these things. Yeah, you think
there's... But it's also as well, like, because obviously it's all really around having two vaginas, either around babies or sex... A gynecologist isn't going to talk to you about your sex life.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to tell you that you have an STI, which is what quite a lot of the time they just go, oh, there's something wrong with you. You just have an STI. Take these antibiotics.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Like, have you been tested recently? One of my friends who has a really bad endometriosis, her coil actually fused to her cervix because the endo like went round it.
Wrapped around it.
Yeah. And she was in so much pain and she went to the doctor and the doctor was like, oh, you obviously just have like an STI. So let's.
No.
She was like, when were you last tested? And she was like, I literally haven't had sex. I don't have an STI. I'm like, no, you have an STI. And she was like, no, I think there's something wrong with my coil. And then they were like, all right, well, we'll see. They tried to pull it out and it was wrapped around inside her. And they were like, they tried to yank it on like five separate occasions. And because it wasn't working, they were like, oh, we're going to have to put you in for surgery. No anesthetic when they were trying to rip this out of her. They then. Obviously put her under and like took it out and they were like, oh, this was like fused to your cervix. And she was like, and you were just trying to rip that out.
Rip it out.
It's just wild.
Absolutely. Absolutely crazy. I think you probably, if you did want tests, I think maybe you would find like a geneticist.
Yeah. And I'd go privately. 100%. Yeah. Like, that's what that's taught me.
Exactly. I think that's where
you go.
But then
I know someone that had, who had to. She went privately, she got it removed, and now she's struggling to get pregnant. And I'm like, is that because you took it out? Like,
it might be, like, while the hormones resettle.
So it's just, there's all these things. There's just so many things. And I think it's just such an unknown condition. But as I said, the woman body is such an unknown condition.
Absolutely. Because throughout history, most physicians have been male. It's only recently, you know, the last 50 years, that females have come through. And that's not a lot of time to actually get that research.
No, it's like you think since the second that biology started, it was just on men.
Yes.
Like that's hundreds of years of research just on half of the population.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, only now, like they're looking at drugs for endometriosis and everything. And women have had it their entire time. Literally. And they've always just been fobbed off and women's problems and you'll be right. And endometriosis pain is akin to a gunshot wound.
Stop. That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's like, I swear, like
it's paralyzing.
Is it like 30%, maybe even more of women have it? It's yes. like such a high percentage of women
such
have
a
endometriosis.
High percentage. Yeah.
My
absolutely.
Auntie has it and she really struggled her whole life with it.
Yeah.
What?
Just awful.
A gunshot. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's the movie that I could find. Dead
Yeah, that's so cool though.
Yes. And then there's a book, and I don't know if you read
there's
the book. Well, it's called Middlesex. And so I will admit I have not read it, so don't come at me. I'm only going by, you know, what I've read on the plot. But it's actually about a hermaphrodite. So they have both. Mm. But by the end of the book, they realize that she actually has two vaginas as well as a penis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's how the book sort of ends. And she has this really difficult relationship with her gynecologist and things like that as well, just trying to establish her identity. And they were trying to give her an identity of you're more male than you are female.
Well, actually, she's more female than she was male.
Well, by the end, she had two vaginas. So don't come at me if this is incorrect. Just write in the comments what you know about the book if you've read it.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool book.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
It's so interesting to think that this is like in literature and it's in like mythology.
Yes, it's kind but of it's slim pickings. Yeah. And so that's why I just think the more you're out there, the better.
I'll make history.
Exactly. In the art world, there's absolutely nothing, as you can imagine.
I don't even know what they draw.
Well, I've got this, which is from a medical book. I will be posting this online as well. But that's what it would look like. That's what it looks like from a gynecologist's point of view.
Actually,
I thought that was a butt plug, but it's not.
No, that's a speculum. This
yeah,
is actually quite,
exactly.
I would say this is actually quite accurate.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of myself. I can show you mine if you'd really like to see it.
I would love to see it.
I have photos on my phone.
Absolutely love to see it. Yes, definitely.
What a sentence. What a sentence.
But that, I don't think I printed that out. That was actually an artist that was commissioned in 1906.
They've done a pretty good job. Yeah, just to draw that. They're just missing, because you can see when you like spread this open like that, you can see someone's urethra and they're like, they're clit.
So yeah,
they're missing a few things, but other than that, and it does really look like that's inside their butthole. I can't lie. The way that it's like around like this, it really does look like.
I will be putting this picture on online.
This just doesn't like. What contraption is this?
I couldn't figure it out when I was looking at it, and I thought, oh, now I know what it is. Right, I've got it.
Yeah, but like, why is the skin like that around that exact? That looks like a bumhole. I'm sorry, yes. But it really does.
That's it.
That's like a monkey.
Monkey. Oh, I can see the monkey.
No, I can too. As soon as you said it, I immediately saw it.
See the monkey. I will be putting that online and tell me if you see a monkey.
Gosh, golly.
But I want to know, so that's basically it culturally, and that's the only sort of artwork that I could find that somebody was commissioned to actually paint that.
Hmm.
But what is your favourite book, movie, art?
In general?
Yeah.
I'm like, with books-wise, I haven't read many, so I can't really comment on books. I'm currently reading a really good book, though, about mythology.
Oh, okay.
But it's like it's kind of like a smart mythology kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I cannot remember the name of it. It's called, like, The Rabbit and the Deer or something.
Right.
And I can't put it down. It's like the – have you heard of the – oh, my God. What was that book called? Oh, I'm going to – It went viral on TikTok. It was these books about, it was the ACOTAR series, because I cannot remember the name of it, and it's all about like smut and fairies.
Right.
A very good, like, but this one is like the same kind of vibe, but it's just adding like the elements of like all of the pantheon. So it's like all of the different like gods and yeah. like how that, like, it's not just Christianity. There's like introduced like every single other god around like, demons and angels yep. and like a love story.
I love it. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I'll give it to you.
That would be fantastic.
The Rabbit and the Deer, I think, is what it's called.
Right.
She's just like found her on Instagram. Oh my God.
And that sounds obsessed. Amazing.
And I literally can't put it down. So I'm very into like that. I'm very into like fantasy mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was younger, my favorite books were Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Yes.
Like I love all that kind
yep.
of stuff.
Yeah.
But my favorite movie, it's a close, like, I really enjoyed, is it American History X? I really liked that movie.
American History X?
It's about that guy that goes, and it's about neo-Nazis, and he goes right. into prison, and it's about, like, a neo-Nazi's experience in prison.
Right.
And obviously he's very, like, he goes from being a very racist person to experiencing, like, what life is like in prison, and he meets, like, his experience in prison is very traumatic, and it's just like his story, and it's so interesting.
Oh, it sounds amazing. I've never heard of it, yeah. but I'll look it up.
Edward Norton.
Oh, I love Ed Norton. Yeah.
I recommend. Yeah. And then on a completely brighter note, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yep. Yes.
But like when everyone says my favorite movie, I always say American History X, but then I always do put alongside, because I wouldn't watch it every like night. But
yeah, yeah, but it's something that left an impact on you.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I could put that on repeat.
Yeah.
But like American History X is a very powerful, it stuck with me. And I think it's a very yeah. like interesting story.
Yeah.
And then art. I'm not
into art.
No.
That's fair enough. Because Sorry. You are a gamer.
Yeah, I am. You Gaming are. Is my passion.
Yeah, and what is your favourite game? Xavier Games as well.
My favourite game at the moment. To be fair, there's two. So I play League of Legends religiously. I love League. I'm a bit of a nerd for that. And then also I'm currently playing, which I really like, is Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is a Borderlands extension. And it's like Dungeons and Dragons, but
okay.
Borderlands themed, and I really like that.
That sounds amazing. I am not a gamer other than Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, come on, no, you can't get better than that. Like, I can't lie, the amount of times I drag my friends over to my house to play Mario Party, like,
yes.
they're all like...
Or Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, like, I'm like, get to my house now, I've got a bottle of wine, and I've got Mario Party waiting. So don't worry, there's no judgment here. Mario is, like, the ultimate.
That's it, exactly. if, like, in the whole sort of gaming realm, what character do you think would best embody your personality?
In the whole, oh.
That's a tough question, I know. I'm definitely Mario.
Yeah, I'd love to be Princess Peach, but I don't think I've been set enough for that.
We are Princess Pussy, so that's...
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah. I'm just Princess Peach and Daisy just fused into that's one.
Maybe you can come back to me and I can put it online.
Yeah, do you know what? I will come back to you.
Yeah, excellent.
100%.
Excellent.
That was a really hot question, actually.
I know. Throw in a curly one. Throughout all of this, what do you want to leave behind? What legacy do you want to leave behind? Like what you're going through, your journey, you're going into, you know, adult film and adult content and stuff like that. Where do you see yourself and what do you want to leave behind?
So obviously, like, I really enjoy what I'm doing now and I'm going to continue with that for a very long time. But along the side of it, I'd really love to actually help and impact reforming of gynecology.
Yeah.
If I could.
You would certainly be the poster girl for it.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's something that whenever I first started doing, like talking about having two vaginas, it was always like the underlying thing. I always have these conversations about like gynecology and how like it's not something that's supported for women. Medicine mm-hmm. is not something that's supporting women. Like it's becoming a bigger conversation that more people are talking about in general anyway, but it is something that I'd like to like help with and get involved with 100%.
That would be amazing. I certainly think you have the platform to build a foundation on that. That's awesome. I see a book in you because I know you in your Instagram you've written, "I'm just writing the plot." And I thought to myself, God, I hope you are just documenting everything that's happening to you because I think you're hilarious.
Thank you.
I think, you know, you're certainly entertaining and whether it's based on true life or not, I think there's a rollicking good rom-com in you.
Yeah, the tragic life of having two vaginas and zero boyfriends.
Exactly. Exactly. It writes itself.
Yeah, just be the Carrie Bradshaw, but just the tragic one. Even I didn't think you'd get more tragic than Carrie Bradshaw, but apparently you can, and this is me.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Is there anything you would like to say to people about, I mean, the Mutation Station is all about just accepting uniqueness, accepting people for who they are, certainly no bullying. That's kind of the reason why I sort of started the podcast. It had been in my head for a long time just because my eyes and stuff, and I've had other... My doctor calls me medically kooky, not as kooky as you. And I just thought, oh, you know, there's so many other people out there. And so I just started this. And it's amazing when I went through the catalogue of mutations, the people that I'd interviewed, the third nipple, work colleague, extra digit, work colleague, situs inversus, where the organs are on the other side of your body, work colleague. Wow. Like, so it's so just... Yeah, the heart is on the right-hand side. All the organs are on the right-hand side.
That's wild.
Yeah, and in fact, Sherlock Holmes wrote a novel about it and the villain had died and they checked his heart.
And it was in the wrong place.
It was in the wrong place. I know. Oh, so that's pretty amazing. That's so cool. Just for me, it was amazing how many people...
They're just close, like...
Because they don't talk about it, you know. So I just wanted to sort of bring everything out, you know, to discuss it because we are really all unique.
No, I think it's really cool.
I hate the whole thought of, you know, the Stepford wife, you know, we've all got to be the same and
a carbon copy, no.
No, exactly. So is there anything you want to add to?
Just if you're young and you have a mutation or there's something like that's different about you, like you're not different. You're exactly the way you were supposed to be. And like there is nothing that you should never be stressed or upset or feel that you should change yourself in order to fit in, because there's nowhere to fit in because you are exactly who you are meant to be and where you're meant to be.
Perfectly imperfect and mutant.
Yes.
Thank you, Annie. I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how joyful this has been for me.
No, it's been really cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.